Madeline is coming to town. The Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art is proud to present Madeline at 75, The Art of Ludwig Bemelmans, on view this Saturday, November 15th through February 22nd in Amherst, Massachusetts. The exhibition, which celebrates the 75th anniversary of the publication of the classic Madeline, honors the plucky schoolgirl in Paris and her creator with more than 90 rarely seen works. Madeline at 75 was organized by the Carle and curated by Jane Curley. It premiered at the New York Historical Society in July. It now opens at the Carle Museum. It is the first exhibition devoted to Bemelmans in more than 50 years, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Jane Curley to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's a delight to have you with us and talking about this exciting exhibition. How did this all come about?
It started because one of the board members at the Carle suggested that Madeline would make a wonderful show, and she pointed out that the 75th anniversary was about 3 years away, and it might surprise some of your listeners to know, but it does take that long to put a show together. You have to track down the art. You have to woo lenders and people who underwrite the show. So it takes time, which we had, and we were so happy to be able to do this.
When it comes to tracking down this work, how carefully curated was the work of Bemelmans in the case of knowing where everything was and knowing what you wanted to include?
Well, the family, Bemelman's daughter, Barbara, has done an excellent job of stewardship. She has his estate, basically. She keeps it very well. So that was a great starting place for the show. I could have done the entire show just from the Bemelman's family collection, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to spread out and look around. He was very productive as an artist, hardworking. He sold a lot of work at the Hammer Gallery in New York during his lifetime. And I thought it would be fun to track down some of that. I also thought it would be fun to track down some of the restaurants and bars that he decorated. You know that he decorated the Carlisle Bar in New York. He also did five or six other ones, and I managed to find three more.
And how did those commissions, I assume, how did those come about?
Well, he was a bon vivant, and he knew everybody. He had a Rolodex the size of the Rock of Gibraltar. So sometimes it would be a friend asking him, like Aristotle Onassis asked him to paint a room on his yacht, the Christina. Sometimes it would be someone he'd met, like Robert Dowling of the Carlisle, saying, come and paint the bar. He did a bar for Yasha Heifetz, the violinist. He did a restaurant with a couple of friends from Young and Rubicam called Habsburg House. That was one of the ones that turned up after the show opened. He did one in Paris, which was very exciting, called La Colombe, and that I found in time to include in the show.
He started off, much of the early work was actually in comics, wasn't it?
Well, Bemelmans never made it past about fifth grade. So, like many a fifth grade boy, his ambition when he grew up was to be a cartoonist. He knew he wanted to be an artist from the time he was about 17, 18 years old. He had a nervous breakdown when he was in the Army, serving in the American Army in World War I. And the thing that saved him was pictures in his mind of favorite places from childhood. He called them islands of security. And he tried to capture these on paper with crayons. And that kept him safe and saved him from, really, suicide. Anyway, so when he got back to the Ritz, he started drawing, and in the mid-20s, he said, okay, I want to be a cartoonist. And he was successful enough at that, but it wasn't enough to make a living. He was still working at the Ritz, and he started getting work in advertising, and that built. His big break came, though, when Mae Massey of Viking Press discovered him. She was the head of the children's book department. She went and had dinner at his studio one night and looked around. He always painted the walls. Wherever he lived, he always painted things on the walls. He'd paint curtains, he'd paint a fireplace, he'd paint pictures. And she took a look at the walls and said, you must write children's books. So they were off and running. That was the beginning of his career as a children's book author. And he was a success from the start. Hansi, his first book, came out in 34 and was followed by four more. And then Madeline in 1939. And here was Mae Massey's biggest mistake of her career. She rejected the manuscript. She thought it was too, as she said, sophisticated for children. In fact, I think she thought it was too cartoony. Bemelmans loved to tell stories with pictures. She liked a tightly written, very literary story. And they were drifting apart in terms of their viewpoint on how to tell a story, and that was the break. She did get him back when the next Madeline came out, Madeline's Rescue, in 1951 in a magazine. She bought the rights immediately because she was a talent scout like no other. She knew a great picture book artist when she saw one.
Did she have any influence on the first work of what we saw of the first Madeline book? Was there any redoing of the work to make it less cartoony?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that is a gem in the show is the original manuscript from the first Madeline book. And it was a revelation to open that up and see what he changed, what he kept. Originally, it was a chapter book. It had three chapters. Who knew that? Originally, instead of a dollhouse from Papa, there's an elephant from Papa in the hospital room. Madeline was spelled with an extra E, the way his wife spelled her name. He crossed that out because I think it was easier to rhyme Madeline than Madeline. And you see in this very cartoony manuscript how he works out ideas for the costume, the plot, the rhyming scheme. It's just a marvelous piece of picture book art, and it's really rare for a manuscript to survive. Those things were treated like trash. The publisher would take them, and the artist would never see them again. So this one survived somehow. Well, I know how. He gave it to some daughters of some friends who lived in Paris. They held on to it until 2007 when it sold at Sotheby's. So it managed to make it to the show.
And yet there was a fairly large gap between the first Madeline book and the second.
Yes, there was. The first one came out in 1939 just as World War II was happening. And you'd think that's terrible timing, but in fact it was quite good because I think everybody felt that his wonderful pictures of Paris, the monuments of Paris, they weren't available, but there they were safe between the pages of a picture book. And it's a Paris that he knew when he was a child. His French governess, his French mamselle, used to show him picture postcards of Paris, and I'm sure that's what he's remembering when he paints the wonderful pictures of Notre Dame and Sacré-Cœur. Anyway, after Madeline was published, he did one more picture book, Fifi, published in 1940, and then he went to Hollywood, where he was part of the glamorous circle of Elsie DeWolf, who was a wonderful designer, interior designer. He worked for MGM, and he did a screenplay for Fred Astaire, and the screenplay, the movie was voted the worst movie of 1945. It was called Yolanda and the Thief, and it's really the worst Fred Astaire movie I've ever seen, but it does have some Bemelmans touches that are quite charming. Then he was a busy guy. He was an insomniac and a workaholic. He was always on the go, travel. So he was doing other things. He was doing other books. He was doing other projects. And he was thinking about Madeline. In 1947, when he did the bar at the Carlyle, there she is on the wall in the bar witnessing a robbery from the Metropolitan Museum. All the girls are going, oh, and watching a thief run away with a painting under his arm. So that's her, I guess, second appearance. And then in 1951, she came out in magazine form. Mae Massey snapped her up, and Viking published Madeline's Rescue in 1953. So that explains the gap.
You have a wonderful oil painting, Madeline at the Paris Flower Market from 1955 in the exhibit.
That is the iconic image of Madeline. That sums up, I think, in Bemelman's own mind, who she is. And he talked, I found a recording of him having an interview in 1954. He talked about who she was in that interview, and he said, she's a concoction. She's part my mother, she's part my daughter, she's part my wife, and of course, there's a lot of me in there. So Madeline at the Paris Flower Market sums up the things he loves. There's this smart little girl in Paris, the city he loved. Even the flowers, there are some lilies on the side. That was his favorite flower. And he knew that Madeline was his legacy. He was aware that this was what he was going to be remembered for. So I think that's why he painted that picture. Also, he was just teaching himself how to paint in oil at that point. So this was a summation for him of this beloved character.
And then he passed away just 7 years later, and that really became his last work, were these books, and great success as well.
Yes, he enjoyed great success during his lifetime. He did so much. His career was like a checkerboard. He wrote for magazines, he wrote books, he wrote memoirs, he was a journalist, correspondent, he did plays, he did screenplays. He could turn his hand to anything and make a success of it. It's extraordinary. But Madeline is what he is remembered for, that's for sure.
What do you think it is about, I'm sure you have thought a lot about this, of what there is about that character, what there is about the art that so captivates people and continues to?
I think Madeline is an every girl. She is the girl that we all wanted to be when we were little, and we still want to be when we're grown up. Brave, charismatic, confident, able to face life's troubles and sail right through them bravely. She has friends. She lives in a beautiful place. She's protected by this loving figure, Miss Clavel. And she represents a can-do American spirit that Bemelmans really admired. He had, as a child, fallen afoul of German rules and regulations and he was exiled basically from Germany. And when he came to America, he was most impressed with the way everybody in America said yes. And I think that Madeline is his character who says yes.
Jane Curley is the curator of the wonderful new exhibit, Madeline at 75, The Art of Ludwig Bemelmans. It opens this Saturday, November 15th, and runs through February 22nd at the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. And obviously you saw it in New York. Now it's in Amherst. How's it looking?
It looks marvelous. In New York City, it was in 19th century small domestic scale galleries where it looked wonderful. But now it's in the Carle, which is this beautiful modern building, and the gallery there is just a gem of a setting for this show. It really looks lovely.
Again, it is the Madeline at 75, The Art of Ludwig Bemelmans, and is on display through February 22nd. Jane Curley, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it, and best of luck, and have a wonderful time with the show.
Thank you, Joe.
A great pleasure. Again, Madeline at 75, The Art of Ludwig Bemelmans, on display through February 22nd. You can find out more information by going to carlemuseum.org, C-A-R-L-E, carlemuseum.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.